You're listening to the IDP Guys with Sean, John, and Nathan, the Wizards of Fantasy Football. Your go-to source for the individual defensive player strategy. And now, three guys who could only make an NFL team on Madden.
Isn't my Shazer?
All right.
Isn't a Shazer?
Okie dokie.
All right, welcome back. We are the IDP Guys. This is episode 70. My name is Nathan. I'm joined today with my co-host, Johnny.
Greetings.
And Sean.
How's it going, guys?
Going pretty good. So let's jump right into the question. Now who you got after AFC-NFC championship weekend craziness? Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Sean, why don't you lead it off?
Patriots.
Yep. Patriots. I mean, Rams got a nice team. They got lots of talent, but Goff doesn't have a lot of experience with these kind of big games. It's just a stroll in the park for Brady. In fact, his ninth stroll in the park, Super Bowl wise.
Gross.
Rams. I mean, we'll get into this later with the game preview, but I feel like the Rams can make it a game with what they've got, where they've got it. But I feel like the Patriots will take it.
I don't know what it is. This is not the Patriots team from the regular season. It's like they just phoned it in all year, and then now they're actually getting to business. So I'm scared. I think that the Rams are going to make it a game, but I got the Patriots, man. I'm not betting against them.
No, you don't bet against the Patriots in the playoffs. It's just bad business.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I'm kind of hoping for is if they do win, that Brady and Belichick as a combined group just rides off into the sunset.
I don't think that it'll be a combined group, but I definitely think it's possible that Brady goes if they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the silver lining in this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what else do you have to
prove?
What else is there at that point? You know, like, he's done everything there is to do. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to have won a Super Bowl at what age? I don't even know how old he is now. It's disgusting. But I don't think there's anything left for him to win after this.
This is true.
This week's news.
All righty. Surprisingly, a lot of news this week. First thing is the most obvious one. AFC, NFC title games and officiating / overtime rules. Obviously some controversy from yesterday. What thoughts?
Yeah. This is some of the worst officiating I think I've ever seen in meaningful games. The Saints game might've been the worst call I've seen in a meaningful game. But between the two games, like, those are the two worst conference championship refereeing that I've seen. It was just bad all around. And obviously the Saints got fucked more than anybody else. But I think everybody in their own right got fucked throughout all of these games. So it's just not acceptable. I don't know how that happens.
I mean, you've got two calls that were game changing that defined who ended up in the Super Bowl. On the Rams Saints, you've got that PI call, which basically stopped the Saints from being able to run the clock down, kick a field goal, walk off a winner. And then in the Patriots Kansas City game, now whether or not Dee Ford was lined up, I mean, that call ended up defining, the Kansas City couldn't, they got that pick and they couldn't put away the Patriots because of.
Yeah, he was offsides though.
Right, right. No, yeah. I understand that.
That was the right call. The roughing the passer. That was the egregious one.
Right.
That was really bad.
Yeah. And then the punt too, where I don't feel like there's enough evidence to overturn that. Like they said on the field, he touched it. It looked like he might have touched it. Like there wasn't conclusive evidence to overturn that. I feel like.
No, I don't think we've ever seen such a borderline call in a big spot get overturned by review.
Right.
Like there definitely wasn't indisputable evidence. So I don't know. You hate seeing refereeing decide the game, especially when you have two really good games like that. You know, mm-hmm. those were great games all the way through until that. And yeah. that sucks.
Yep. And overtime wise, a lot of people saying today that you got the MVP of the league, doesn't even get a chance to touch the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. Like the Chiefs have what, like the 31st ranked defense? Like you're in the AFC title game at home. Step the fuck up and yeah. stop them. And then you get the ball and you can win. It's that simple.
Yeah, I guess the best argument against that is that the Patriots didn't have to step up and stop them. You know, like you're asking one team to step up and stop them and the other team not to, you know?
Yeah, they'd have to go college style on that, which I think would be entertaining, but that would be a monumental change to mm-hmm. the NFL. Like it would change a ton of things.
I mean,
it would. And you'd have to change the way statistics work too, because, yep. you know, old records are going to be suddenly not.
Right.
Viable anymore because you'll have games that go into like six overtimes and you're giving people the chance to score, you know, five extra touchdowns in a game. You know, the yep. in-game record for passing touchdowns is suddenly going to go from 7 to 12.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like year one.
Yep. And then Vegas wise, over underlines would get annihilated. There'd just be a lot of stuff that would change.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Personally, I think it's fair. They had their chance as far as making a stop. And, you know, if you can't stop Brady.
They had him third and 10 three times.
Right. They had their chances. I mean.
And the Patriots called the same play twice on two of those third and 10s to Edelman, that little inside, you know, slant cross, whatever.
Yeah.
Like. It Tony Romo was saying the second time right. they're going to call that play again, and it happened.
Oh, he was calling like most of those plays.
Yeah, he's on my list for later. We'll get into it.
Sounds good.
All right, next piece of news. Gurley is not injured. He just said he had a crappy game. So he's fine. He'll be playing. Him and Fat CJ will be toting the rock.
So I'm curious, though, because they mentioned this during the game that he was on the sidelines, but wasn't like, I mean, I think they were losing and he wasn't riled up, like trying to get on the field. Like you would think a player having a bad game would be frustrated when they're losing.
Yeah. I don't really know what any of that was about. It was just super bizarre.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like he got enough work to say that he just had a crappy game. Like, I wonder if he was sick or something, but I mean, like, this has been a few weeks now where we've seen a pretty decent dose of CJ Anderson. Mm-hmm. So, something's got to be off. I'm not buying that he just is not playing well.
So,
you know?
Do you think the script, quote unquote, is flipped when everyone was saying that Gurley's been off for the last month, so he's going to come back with fresh legs? Like, is it now he's been off for too long and he's coming back not ready to play?
No, because it's not like he's not playing. He's just playing less. So you don't like he's basically just joining a committee role like everybody else in the NFL does. I'm not buying that.
Well, he dropped those two passes that were key, third down plays. He got stuffed at the line a few times where CJ Anderson was just fucking refrigerator right through it all.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's looked super good lately. I just don't think that it's rust. I don't think he hasn't had any significant time off. He's just not been playing as much.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going on there.
Well, we'll have 2 weeks to get better if anything is up. So we'll see. Next piece of news, pair of offensive coordinator hires. And normally I don't care about these, but they happen to be both our teams. Cowboys looking to hire perhaps Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. I don't really care. Do you guys care?
I find it funny. You guys got Kellen Moore and Joe Kitna in your... John Kitna, sorry. In your coordinators.
Yeah.
Quarterback's
coach.
I don't think Kitna is. Kitna...
Yeah, he's quarterback's coach.
He's doing the AAF now.
They're looking to hire him as quarterback's coach is what I saw.
Yeah.
Oh, they're looking to hire him. Okay.
Yes.
Because I know. Shit, which one is it? It's the San Diego Fleet. Their coaches are like all the who's who of the shitty Lions converts from Rams, where it's like Mike Martz, Azir Hakim, Dre Bly, and John Kitna, all from that same Lions team.
Wow, that's wild. What about your guys' offensive coordinator? I don't even know who it is.
Bevel. Yeah, I don't. That's a wait and see thing for me.
That's the guy that they credit the 1 yard line throw from Seattle to lose the Super Bowl.
Okay,
that's just
who you guys want.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
You can't judge somebody like someone's on that one play.
Well, the Lions Twitter can.
Yeah, they sure can. they can do it.
I mean, they don't talk about the fact that he was involved in two Super Bowl runs and, balanced out that offense.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment because it's like, I don't know. Looking at it, there's a lot of just discrepancies from year to year with his production and stuff. And it's really just tough to say what he's going to be or what he's good at. So I don't know. We'll see.
It's a fresh face. It's kind of where.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's not Jim Bob.
Isn't that the final layover from the Mayhew era in the office?
Might be.
I think that's what I had heard, that he was the last guy that was hired by the Mayhew administration, I guess. And so now that's finally gone. But as far as players go, I mean, Stafford was from that. I don't know who else is on the team that was still around back then.
Mulbeck.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's been on the team since Barry
Forever.
Sanders.
Yeah, pretty much.
All righty, next piece of news. Drew Brees leaning towards coming back next year. I can't say this is surprising. They still got a really nice team, and they got hosed in two ridiculous ways the last 2 years. So,
if he would have won the Super Bowl, I think that would have been at least a possibility, but there's no way he's retiring now.
Yeah.
Yep. Danico Autry fined $13,000 for the quote helicopter dance. To anyone unfamiliar with the helicopter dance, that's gyrating your hips so that your wiener spins like a helicopter blade.
I've heard it as the windmill as well.
Oh,
I haven't heard that one.
No, yeah.
The windmill.
Yeah. A quick Google search of helicopter dance will show you everything you need to know.
Yeah, John's got
it'll show you far more than you need, I promise.
John's got a nice GIF that he likes to use. It's animated, so it's not as bad, but it does show everything.
Nope, still bad.
As far as fines go, this is well worth the $13,000. That's
it. I mean, yeah,
that's not bad.
I feel like you'd get more than that for just having three pumps, you know?
Yeah.
That is one of the best Key and Peele skits.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad you got that.
Sean Lee leaning towards playing again next year. Terrific, I guess. I don't know. If Van Der Esch wasn't there, I'd be like, this is great. We'll take him. But I think it's time for him to move it along and let the young blood get more experience.
What's his contract like?
I have no idea.
Okay. I mean, he's not like up for free agency anytime soon, or did he just sign anything?
I have no idea.
Gotcha.
We'll see what happens, though. Okay, this one was interesting. So Frank Clark played this most of this season with two UCL tears, and to the uninitiated, that's an ulnar collateral ligament tear. That's the inside of the elbow. So both inside elbows were torn up. For most of this season. So he was only at like 50-60% and he still had 14 sacks. So that's awesome.
Do you think that means his ceiling is higher than this year?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Sean, I hope you have something on this because I haven't looked too far into it because I don't really care about the Panthers. The Cam Newton may need surgery/may miss the 2019 season. Bless you. News is all over Twitter. What's up with that?
If I recall correctly, that's totally taken out of context. The comment that they pulled was from Do you remember who the quote was from?
No.
I forget who it was. It was GM or coach or something. And the comment they pulled was from them talking about Andrew Luck, if I remember correctly, where they were like, yeah, I would have sat him if he wasn't, if Cam Newton was hurt to the point where he wasn't going to be 100%, I would have sat him for the season because there's no way I'm risking my franchise quarterback. And then I think it was ESPN came out and just took that totally out of context and was like, yeah, they said that he might miss next season. It was like, nah, that is not what was said in that conversation.
Interesting.
That it is.
Alrighty. Next one. Have you guys seen the video of Sean McVay's quote, get back coach, unquote?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
He's just like a zombie walking around, and it's like a little child, you know, like in a grocery store where the kid's running and the parents just kind of like pick him up and move him. Like, that's pretty much what that looked like.
Yeah. It's a pretty, pretty sweet gig. Definitely. Yeah.
Apparently I missed all of this.
Yeah. It's on Twitter all over the place right now. There's a coach, I believe it's the strength and conditioning coach that follows Sean McVay around because he gets animated and he walks onto the field.
Yeah. I saw something like that.
Yeah. And he, sometimes the refs bump into him and he can get flagged for that and stuff. So this guy is just responsible for pulling him out of the way of the ref when they're about to collide. That's his like whole job during game day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sweet gig.
Yeah.
The video I was actually looking at earlier was him getting super animated and then just on a dime turning into like Bill Belichick, like grim faced.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. I thought that's what you were talking about, but I gotta watch that one.
Yep.
What you got.
And last, this isn't really a piece of news, but how about Tony Romo on the broadcast yesterday? Yeah. Holy cow, man. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. He definitely sits at home and watches tape and prepares for every game that he's going to be calling, which is what everybody else should be doing because it's their job to know these things. And you never feel like Romo's going into a game unprepared. And yeah. I don't know. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that everybody else doesn't take the same level. Like, even if they're not going to be as good at it as Romo is, like, you would think that they would just take pride in their work and just like go out of their way to be good at what they do. Yeah. But it doesn't seem like everybody else has the same level of care that he
does. So my question here is, do you think Tony Romo is the beginning of a new generation of announcers? Like, cause we got a lot of guys that are getting old, kind of losing their shit and are probably going to be canned shortly. Troy Aikman. So, you know, bringing in guys that are retiring, do you think they follow the Tony Romo path and come in super prepared and super entertaining? And
I think that all depends. Like right now, the problem is that everyone looks at Romo as like the exception, you know, where everyone's like, God, Romo is just so much better than everybody else. So nobody else is held to that standard, really.
Right.
If you got a couple of other people on broadcast that were at the same level as Romo, then I think everyone else would have to be held to that standard and you'd start seeing people doing a much better job.
Well, but you probably see some competition. So CBS now has Romo. And probably like NBC or Fox would be like, well, we want someone like that. Let's go and find them. So maybe in a year or two, we might start seeing each broadcast station having one of those and then raising the, like the standards of announcing. I'm just curious if that could, you know, if we might be on the verge of seeing that. And if so, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'd be thrilled to get better commentary because like if for the longest time you could watch broadcasts and not learn anything. As somebody who watched football for most of their life, you watch it and it's kind of like, yep, I'm getting just as much out of it if I just put this on mute. Whereas now like Romo's up there talking and it's worth listening to because he knows what he's talking about and he's telling you stuff that you probably didn't notice.
Yeah. I mean, when he was calling like, okay, they've got to go to, you know, Gronk out there on the edge. And then they they do it multiple times, and it's the fact that he's still doing this. Because I could see, you know, coming out in your first, he started what, last year doing the announcing? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So coming out last year to try and make, you know, a name for himself and doing all this, and then just kind of stepping back and stopping that could have been something he did. And the fact that, you know, now year two closing in on the Super Bowl, he's still able to read what is going to go on the field is pretty awesome.
I think the concern was always more that they were going to try and reel him in.
True.
And they did to a certain extent. But it, like, not enough that it took away anything from his commentary, but you do, like, it is really funny watching people online just complain about him where they're like, it's so stupid. They're like, I don't want to hear Romo predict the plays before they happen. I want to be surprised as they happen. It's like, you guys are so fucking dumb.
Right.
Like,
right.
You're just fucking dumb.
But definitely congratulations to Tony Romo for making his first Super Bowl.
God.
Gut check.
All right, this is the part of the show where we pair together two sets of defenders, a set of offensive players, talk about each one compared to the other, and then send it out to you all on Twitter land, get your response, and talk about it the week after. So let's get into last week's gut checks. The first one here is a set of defensive ends. Dallas's DeMarcus Lawrence versus the Saints' Cam Jordan. With 101 votes, 60% went DeMarcus Lawrence.
All right.
There you go. Let's see. The next set is a pair of safeties. Cincinnati's Jesse Bates versus Arizona's Buda Baker. 156 votes, 64% Buda Baker.
Mm. Yep.
And the last one here, a pair of quarterbacks, Minnesota's Kirk Cousins and the LA Rams' Jared Goff. With 177 votes, 75% went Jared Goff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, it was Jared Goff versus who?
Cousins.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Right. All right, John, you want to take us through this week's gut checks?
All righty. First one may be controversial. We'll see. So we'll start with a pair of quarterbacks. First one is Andrew Luck, who came back from the dead, rising from the grave like a zombie phoenix from the ashes. He played and started all 16 games this year, had 430 completions, 4,593 yards, 39 passing touchdowns, 15 picks, was sacked 18 times, 148 rush yards, no rushing touchdowns, 6 fumbles, one of those lost. And up against him, the score-wise, these guys were pretty close, but we're going to go with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to see what everyone thinks here. Mr. Rodgers played and started all 16 games this year, although his last game of the year, he was knocked out fairly early. 372 completions for 4,442 yards, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, was sacked 49 times this year. 269 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 6 fumbles, and 3 fumbles lost. And I want Andrew Luck. Maybe it's recency bias, but I just want Andrew Luck. I feel like Rodgers was not playable for portions of this year in fantasy. I mean, playable, but not what you expected, not what you paid for good portions of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So I'd just say that I would like Andrew Luck because of how he was playing this year, as well as, you know, I feel like his defense is going to keep him on the field a little more. And that offense, you know, they have good pieces. They need some more receivers for him. You know, right now, Eric Ebron being the only real red zone threat. But I think they're going to get that in the draft and probably the free agency. I don't know where their cap is.
They've got a lot of room.
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to utilize that this year and probably increase Andrew Luck's weapons. Whereas Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Robert Rodgers' neighborhood here, isn't disrepair. They've got a lot of holes that need to be filled. I think it's kind of the downward spiral for the Packers right now.
Yeah, I could go either way on this. Dynasty, definitely give me Andrew Luck. For 1 year only, I think I still want Aaron Rodgers, though. Until he proves to me that he can't do it anymore, I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. He obviously didn't look as good this year, but I think that a lot of that had to do with the offense changing. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he had basically nobody out there at receiver outside of Devontae Adams. Mm. They were starting like sixth round picks and stuff out there. So largely it's going to have to do with which team adds more weapons. And I do think that the Colts are going to be the more likely of the two to add a receiver in the draft. But all things staying the same right now, give me Aaron Rodgers still.
Yeah, and then a couple of the leagues I play in, we count sacks against the quarterback, and Rodgers, 49 times he was sacked this year. Luck only 18. Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't think that's going to get better either, at least not significantly better. A lot of it had to do with the fact that, I don't know, at least according to him, they had a lot of they changed their progressions so that they weren't doing checkdowns as early in their progressions, which that might change. But I think that so much of Rodgers' game is his mobility. And I think as he goes older, that's going to be one of the first things to go. So he's definitely going to have to adjust his game sooner rather than later. But I don't think that that's necessarily gone from his game yet.
Mm. Yep. And we'll throw that. I'm interested to see what everyone says about it. That should be an interesting one. Next one is a pair of linebackers, kind of mid-tier one options. First one is Telvin Smith of the Jags, who played and started all 16 games this year. 100 solo tackles, 34 assists, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 2 pass defense, 2 picks, 1 touchdown, 1 forced fumble. And he's going against Avery Williamson, the inside linebacker for the Jets, also played and started all 16 games, 80 solo tackles, 40 assists, 5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 6 pass defense, 1 pick, no touchdowns, 2 forced fumbles. And I think I actually want Avery Williamson, even though his numbers are significantly, maybe not significantly, but definitely worse. Telvin Smith's been in the league a long time. I think Miles Jack, despite being pretty inconsistent this year, will eventually kind of take over as the main producer there for their linebacking core. And Williamson, you know, after the first couple games, really got on a tear after his slow start. So I just think he has a little bit brighter future. Although, honestly, if you're looking at a 4-3 versus a 3-4, the weak side linebacker generally does better than a inside linebacker in a 3-4. But not in this case, I think. What do you guys think?
I want Telvin Smith. I think that he's one of the rare cases where those splash plays that you don't really want to rely on just continually show up for him. I think he's the more talented player, and I think that he's playing with a worse offense. So,
see, that's funny. I was just going to go Avery Williamson because I think old Crazy Eyes over there is going to wreck that offense and keep them on defense all the time. So I would probably side the Avery Williamson way.
I think it also depends who ends up playing quarterback for the Jaguars.
Yeah, because there's talk of them getting Foles. There's, you know, Bridgewater's available. Things could go their way and they could end up with a pretty decent offense.
Yeah, I just don't know that any of those sound appealing. Where, like, I'm definitely not a Mariota fan, but I think that he's better than probably most of what's going to be available to the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. You mean, not Mariota. What's his face?
Excuse me. Yeah.
Bortles. There we go. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Alrighty. Next one, pair of safeties. First one is Malcolm Jenkins, the veteran safety of the Eagles, played and started all 16 games this year, 79 solo tackles, 18 assists, 6 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 8 pass defense, 1 pick, 3 forced fumbles with no touchdowns. Going against a fellow veteran, Jordan Poyer, safety Bills, 16 games played and started, 73 solo tackles, 27 assists, 9 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 6 pass defense, 4 picks, 1 forced fumble, no touchdowns. And these guys were exactly 1 point apart in the league I took this from. I'm going to go Jordan Poyer because I think when Wentz is fully healthy and that offense is back to running the ball efficiently with Jay Ajayi and stuff, they're just going to have much better time of possession and the defense will be on the field far less often. Where the Bills, as much as Josh Allen improved, they're not there yet. It's going to be a couple of years before they have a nice offense, I feel like. So Poyer will just get more time on the field, so I'm taking him.
Yeah, I'm with you on Poyer.
Same. I got Poyer here.
Check the rankings.
All right, so let's take a look back at the Sunday, I guess. We're no longer, it's not the weekend, but the AFC-NFC Sunday in review. We're going to go around with our three guys, over, met, and under, and see what we got. Johnny, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, sure. For my over, I'm going to go Corey Littleton. It could have been a few different linebackers. There were some guys that had great games, but Littleton, I feel like, had a really nice game with 11 solo tackles and 1 assist. So Mr. Littleton.
Nice.
For my over, I'm taking Sony Michel. After seeing the James White factor last week, I think that it was a little unexpected to see Sony Michel get, 29 carries?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So for my over, I've got DeMario Davis. 9 tackles, 5 assists, a pass defense, and an interception. I thought that was a very nice game from him, and so I got him as over.
Yeah, Kyle Van Noy had a nice game at linebacker, too, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. For my Met expectations, I'm going with Cameron Jordan, who had 1 solo tackle, 2 assists, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. That's the kind of stat line I saw him put up all year, so that's about where he's normally at.
For my Met, I have Jared Goff, right around 300 yards, touchdown, interception, nothing spectacular, but decent showing from him.
Nice. So I've got Anthony Hitchens, who had a 7-7, 7 tackles, 7 assists.
Yeah. And since the Patriots ran 48 times, that's probably about where he should have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. For my under, I'm going to go Chris Jones, 1 pass defense. That's it. He had no effect on this game whatsoever. And he also got that penalty for the roughing the passer at the end there.
Mm.
My under is Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley. Both of them. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So for my under, I'm going Dee Ford. Not only did he not put up a stat that was worth anything for IDP, he also could say cost the Kansas City Chiefs the game with that lineup offsides.
It's those edge rush linebackers, been telling you guys all year.
Yep. Alrighty, so let's continue this and talk about each game. We're going to go through, at this point, the New England Patriots 37 versus Kansas City Chiefs 31.
Yeah, this game got off to a rough start for KC. They were shut out the first half. Patriots came out with a great game plan, and if it wasn't for that Hitchens touchdown, it would have been over a lot earlier than it was, really, to be honest with you. They dominated time of possession from the opening snap, played great defense. Although Mahomes is so good, he did manage to get him back into this game and make it competitive late. But you could just tell that that Belichick game plan, they had it in effect and were really working it. And they ran 48 times. Like,
yeah,
they owned time of possession. They played good defense. They made things tough. They double teamed Tyreek Hill constantly. They took Kelce mostly out of the game. Like, they played a really solid game from start to finish. And if Mahomes wasn't so incredibly talented, KC never would have been in this thing at all. So, yeah.
They just got so much pressure so consistently on Mahomes that, like, he was running for his life for most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing this comes down to is the quarterbacks. You've got Tom Brady, and this was mentioned. I don't know if it was just mentioned in the group I was hanging out with watching the game or if the announcers actually said it, but he's like having your offensive coordinator on the field. He got to the line. He killed almost every play that they went to the line with, changed it up, audibled out, and it was always successful. Whereas Patrick Mahomes would come up, he's a young quarterback. This is his second year. He's not mature enough to read a defense and change the play. So when, you know, the Patriots could line up and not have to worry about them doing something else. And oftentimes they were successful in stopping him. So, I think that was the major difference, between the two teams there.
Yeah. The pass rush too. Like, the Patriots had tons of pressure from both Trey Flowers and Van Noy and other places, whereas the Chiefs didn't touch Brady. They didn't sack him the entire game. Then that's huge. If you can't get pressure on Brady, you don't stand a chance, like, at all.
Yeah, I thought going into this game that was going to be the big deal. Like, Brady on his butt. Every time the Patriots lose a Super Bowl or lose their way out of the playoffs, you see Brady on his ass looking sad. And you just didn't see it this game.
Yep.
So how about we talk about the LA Rams 26 and the New Orleans Saints 23?
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone's going to talk about the non-PI call here, but the Rams did play a good game. Mm. They did end up getting some pressure. Fowler had a huge sack to cause that interception. John Johnson looking good.
Yeah.
Legatron did his part. Two huge clutch kicks. Goff played well enough. With Gurley not looking so great, Fat CJ did his work. Brandon Cooks had one hell of a revenge game. Robert Woods looked pretty good also. Who is it? Higbee that had a nice game at tight end. Like, they played good enough to win. And when they got that opportunity that the refs gave them, they took advantage. And that's really all you can do is take advantage of opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's too bad that this game is going to just be overshadowed by the refing. Like, it was too good a game for that to be the legacy of it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it really was. Yep.
Alrighty, so it is that time of year. We are going to preview the Super Bowl. We'll probably be talking about this again next week, but the Los Angeles Rams versus the New England Patriots, that will be Super Bowl 53, right?
I don't know.
It's, yeah, whatever it is. A game today,
don't ask
guys.
Us questions we're not prepared to.
I guess.
Yeah, so the Rams started as a one-point favorite in this, but, you know, Vegas was swarmed with Patriots bets early and often, so now the Patriots are the two-point favorite, which they probably should be. I feel like they've got coaching on, as great as McVay is, Belichick's a genius. They've got veteran leadership, poise, a run game, a defense that, while not great, is able to morph to take away the one thing that the opposing offense wants to do, whatever that may be. They can certainly run the ball. Michelle's looked incredible the last couple games. Burkhead gets into the end zone. Devlin gets into the end zone. Yep. James White can catch the ball. They've got a million different ways to, you know, cut you and make you bleed to death. Plus Brady and Belichick. So I think they'll probably win this one. Although the Rams do have what they need to make the Patriots uncomfortable and make this a game, which is a great pass rush. When you got Sue, you got Donald, you got Brockers, you got Fowler, you got guys that can blitz from the linebacker slot. You know, John Johnson in back there, Marcus Peters, Talib, like they'll be able to play defense and probably, you know, force a few three and outs for sure. It's just, can they score enough to stay with the Patriots? And with Gurley not looking so hot, I don't know if they can. And I just don't think Goff's able to be the kind of quarterback we need, like a Nick Foles last year kind of quarterback, like,
yeah,
you know, 300 yards, four touchdowns, that type of thing. I just don't see that from Goff. So I got the Patriots. What do you guys think?
It's Patriots for me. I don't know. I'm never going to bet against Brady and Belichick. It's just not going to happen. So I think that the Rams have enough talent to be the team to beat them. But unfortunately, I don't think talent is what is going to be needed to get it done. So realistically, I don't see Goff going in there with a banged up or underperforming Gurley and taking apart anything that Belichick's trying to do. Mm.
So what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a good game or a blowout? Like,
no, it'll be a good game. There's too much star power on the Rams. Yeah. That offensive line held. All right, so Goff took what? At least one or two sacks in the Saints game and none in the Cowboys game. That offensive line is going to be able to slow down the Patriots pass rush enough. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if they'll be able to run as effectively as they need to.
Do you think somehow Sean McVay's doing some Belichickian double bluff where
No.
Gurley's just somehow like a beast right now, and he's just like, well, we're going to just run with Fat CJ and let Belichick scheme for Fat CJ, and then
no.
Gurley's going to come out and be like, Hall of Fame season.
No.
Yeah. No.
We can hope.
McVay's a smart guy, though. So this will be a game. It's not going to be a blowout. I just think it comes down to, you know, veteran leadership and poise, of which the Patriots have in spades, and the Rams really don't. They're still a young team, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I hope they win.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't count on it.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
Johnny the Greek.
Yeah, I forgot to say this earlier, but just one kind of silver lining with this thing. So if the Patriots win, there's a good chance Brady walks away because Giselle's all up in his ass. This will be his sixth ring. He'll have nothing more to prove. Maybe he goes away. And if they lose, then it's the story now becomes, you know, Brady has five rings, but he also has four losses. So either way, there could be a silver lining. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's just the optimist point of view, which you don't get out of me often, but you know, this is their ninth Super Bowl. So I need something to keep me from jumping off a bridge. All right. Speaking of Super Bowl, that means wild prop bets, which we'll get into shortly. But if anyone remembers, one of my early bets this year was Pats to win AFC title. It was like plus 550 or something. So if you did that months ago, congratulations. Nice. Good for you. There are quite a few crazy prop bets for the Super Bowl, as always. A couple that caught my eye, though. The first one is the first scoring play. It could either be a touchdown, which is like negative 700, or a field goal or safety is plus 150. I think there's a strong chance it could be a field goal. Patriots or someone gets the ball, drives, but the drive stalls out and they end up kicking a field goal. I could totally see that happening. That's plus 150. $10 gets you 15. It's not terrible. If you want to make a crazy prop bet, that's not a bad one. Overall bets for the game, I would take Patriots money line. They're negative 145. They're only a 2-point favorite, but that's probably going to go up. So I would just take the money line and bet your money. $10 gets you $6.90. And then there's one I saw, another one that was interesting. Super Bowl MVP. James White's plus 2,000. Sony Michel is plus 1,600. I think there's a strong chance either one of them could get it. $10 gets you $200 for James White. $10 gets you $160 for Sony Michel.
So I got a question. What's CJ Anderson in that?
Oh, he's way higher than both of them. It's like $10 gets you like $450 or something.
I bet. That I think that's the bet I want.
Yeah.
Nice. So make sure you're following us on Twitter at IDP Guys. Individually, I'm at Nate Cheat. John is at OrangeMan3142 and Sean is at Lanny1925. Subscribe to the show. You can find it on the website, idpguys.org. On the sidebar, there are links for Google, Stitcher, iTunes, and as well as an RSS feed so that you can put the link right in the podcatcher you choose. If you'd like to help out the show, we're doing a lot of expansion this year, and go to patreon.com/IDPguys, and you can help offset some of the costs for bringing you more content, more stuff for your fantasy drafts and to win your league. And we're just here to help you in your research for IDP. Also, we are continuing our live streams on Sundays for the next 2 weeks. So if you'd like to join us, we kind of have, it's very casual. We talk football. We had a very good discussion this last Sunday. And we interact with the listeners on Periscope. And you can find that on our Twitter account at IDP Guys. We go live at 11 o'clock on Sundays. As well, don't forget, we launched a beta version of Gary Van Dyke's at HBogart27's PAP score. This is a grading scale for IDPs. You can scroll through this. It's like a Google Doc on the website, and it's all, they're all graded out based off kind of like what their it's playmaking ability per snap. So how likely they are to make a play, a point making play per snap. And you can look and see who's better, who's worse, whatnot. It's very good for your research. And for $3 a month, you get access to our premium PAPS chart, which allows you to sort and other things, as well as when we bring in more charts and go back through the history. So right now it's beta version. We're trying to test it, make sure the interface works for the user, and adjust based off of that. So without further ado, that ends our 70th show. Thank you all for joining us, and look forward to the Pro Bowl. Are you guys looking forward to that?
No one's looking forward to the Pro Bowl.